allow Sigma Teen confreres and members of the Sigma Teen laity and anyone who might chance by to hear these reflections. This is our, I think, 37th and final reflection on this aspect of communion according to St. Gaspar Bertoni. Just quickly, we think every founder or every person has a significant personal DNA, spiritually as well as physically. So when we look at the various elements that go into making up any saint, or especially a founder, there are certain elements that come to the fore which we think are charisms, as described by St. Paul. So the charism is modeled on the incarnation. Jesus came as a Jew. He could have come as a New Yorker, but he came as a Jew, and as a result, so much of his background was Jewish. Well, St. Gaspar Bertoni came from an unusual situation, a broken home, a divided city, because it was the dividing line between the Austro-Franco Empire, and it was also a time of great confusion and division in the church, separation and disagreements on all levels. And all of these elements fitted into giving him a certain outlook or a certain manner of acting. So that manner of acting, that spiritual outlook, is called his charism. So as our late distinguished Stigmatine confrere, Cornelio Fabro, said in his writings about St. Gaspar, that many things were part of his charism. And one of them, and he thought a special one, was physical suffering and his devotion to the Eucharist, the most blessed sacrament of the altar. So we will conclude this not so much with a reflection on the Eucharist as Holy Communion, but the deep role that the Eucharist played in the life of St. Gaspar. And to do this, let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertoni, please pray for us all. Well, in mid-March, actually March 16th, 1809, Father Bertoni makes this entry into his diary. Nobody can go through life without some cross. So in this time, it seems to me this was late in Lent, if not Holy Week, or sometime in that context, I present to you three crosses, and you choose. The first is the cross of Christ. The second is the cross of St. Dismas and the good thief, and the third is the cross of the wicked thief. In the first one, there is glorification. This belongs to the innocent people because they are the most similar to Christ. And as Stigmatines, we might think here of the espousal's devotion to Mary and Joseph, or the espousal's principle. There are many who follow Christ, the cross, as friends, hoping they get something of the reward. A few, maybe as a son, hoping he gets the inheritance. But very few would follow Christ as a lover or as one who would be espoused to Christ. And this is a famous espousal's principle. These innocent people, Mary and Joseph, because they are more similar to Christ. And this also brings to mind the three ages of the interior life. We have a progression, like from the so-called purgative to the unitive, the illuminative, and then the unitive, which is the culmination, which is an espousal's. So in the second cross, there is real consolation. This belongs to a people who has suffered much, but they did not lose their resignation and peace. And through the cross, the good thief was also promised by the Lord, this day you will be with me in paradise. But the third cross, it's going to happen anyway. In other words, if we don't choose one of the above two in this idea, then the third cross is really Jacob's ladder, going downward instead of upward. At any rate, this brings to mind, where St. Gaspar used so many, the meditations of the Jesuit spiritual writers, like a Father De Ponte, who wrote very prolifically on the charism of St. Ignatius, and St. Gaspar was much imbued with that literature, largely through his childhood spiritual director, Father Luigi Fortis, who then became Father General, and also through Father Nicholas Galvani, who was Father Bertoni's professor of moral theology, a bit Jansenistic in his orientation, but a great devotee of St. Ignatius and all that was Ignatian. He's important in our community as a benefactor, because he's the one that made an outright gift of his ownership of the property on which there was the Church of the Stimite and the building next to the church, as well as a convent across the garden at the other side of the property. So he's considered to us to have been a benefactor, because he started the congregation going by this generous offer. His own health was poor, so as Father Bertoni grew in the priesthood, he had been a priest by this time 16 years, Father Galvani gave him the property. So anyway, on this same day when Jesus mentions the three crosses, he later added, "During benediction, I experienced a deep sentiment of some tenderness or personal self-giving. I really came to experience in a way how Christ attracts our hearts, just as he said, 'I will draw everything to myself.'" That's a famous passage much studied in Thomistic circles. The drawing of God, the drawing of Christ, "When I am raised up, I will draw all to myself," is based on the Song of Songs, how a man is drawn to a woman and how a woman can be drawn to a man. That kind of loving attraction is what St. Gaspar experienced here. Then he went on, he said, "How any goodness, knowledge, and pleasantness found in creatures belongs in the last analysis to God. So let him be praised." So again, it's some kind of a reflection that came to St. Gaspar from the Most Blessed Sacrament. So the next text I've noted here is July 24th, 1809. That's about 14 months after the above. And he says, "We must get ready for a great war with hell. We need humility to attract help from heaven. Put on the armor of God that you might be able to resist. And we need detachment from things so that the evil one should not have anything to catch us by." This is just an insight, not directly associated with the Eucharist, other than that idea that when Christ is raised up, he will draw all to himself. Then on July 30th of that same time, 1809, "During the meditation, I was pondering the journey of Jesus to the Jordan, and I experienced again a great interior sentiment. I understood that we have to show in ourselves to the Divine Father a portrait of his Divine Son." Well, this is one of the ways we might understand what St. Gaspar's charism is, at least metaphorically. It's a work of an artist. And he believed that the community is something like a masterpiece drawn by the Holy Spirit as the divine artist. So in response to all of this, St. Gaspar, who often seemed to be moved by paintings, says this is what we're trying to do. We need to draw a portrait of his divine Son in ourselves. So we've seen a number of times the experience that St. Gaspar had in seeing a painting of the Trinity, which are somewhat rare. But anyway, it was this mystical thing, metaphorical thing or whatever, and it shows the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what motivated St. Gaspar muchly was the portrait of the Father handing over his Son totally. And this was his idea of an apostolic missionary totally committed to the mercy and to the mission of God. So on that same July 30th, which incidentally was the day before the Feast of St. Ignatius, which a year before, on July 31st, 1808, Father Bertoni had a real insight of establishing a community along the spirit of St. Ignatius. So this is what he said, July 30th, 1809. "During High Mass, in which I was celebrating as a deacon, I experienced a sentiment of deep reverence. At the Creed, I experienced a love for the Incarnation. Today, I experienced much faith in the spirit of prayer, and this spirit of recollection lasted even later." Now, those of you of a younger age might not have known that liturgically the Mass was offered in three main ways. The private Mass, which was the Mass of every day, and the Mass with just the priest. But then there'd be a high Mass, in which there'd be the priest where he would sing, or the solemn high Mass, and there'd be a celebrant, deacon, and subdeacon. With the liturgical renewal of Vatican II, this solemn high Mass is mostly out of vogue. At any rate, we all of us were called upon to serve either as a deacon or a subdeacon at a funeral. And it was always a great time consumer, but also a time of great prayer. So we find in a book written by the Jesuit biographer Father Mariani, an early Jesuit, in the life of St. Ignatius, he quotes rather profoundly from St. Ignatius, and this kind of spirit deeply imbued that St. Gaspar Bertoni. So his sense of recollection here, as well as that noted elsewhere, is a recommendation of the gift we receive from God. So as I'm running out of material now, we might just conclude these reflections on the Eucharist as his idea of communion, where many different people, different nationalities, different outlooks, different psychologies, trying to live together, living a different apostolic mission. It's a very, very hard thing to do. And one of the things we can rely on is to pray in our Mass, each one of us, for the gift of community, that God might bless the stigmating community with further life and further vitality. So with this, I will draw these reflections to a close with a prayer. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertoni, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, God bless you, and thank you for listening.